My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We've asked him to offer his thoughts on the situation in the Middle East, now with several continual days of fighting between Israel and the radical group Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip. Much of this precipitated, of course, by Hamas firing rockets into Israel and accelerated when Israeli Defense Forces took out the militant leader of Hamas a number of days ago. As we speak, Hamas is saying a truce is set to take effect later this afternoon. Israel says not so fast. They have not agreed to such a thing. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton reportedly headed to the region to try and further broker that ceasefire. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
If, in fact, there is a truce that's enacted soon, how meaningful will it be?
Well, I don't think it's likely to last very long. You know, the pressure is on to declare some kind of victory here to bring this episode to a close. But honestly, from Israel's point of view, you know, Hamas has made ceasefires over the years, repeatedly violated them. The strategic situation is actually now very different because Iran has supplied Hamas with missiles that can reach Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, as we've seen over the past week. And if Israel actually does stop its response before it eliminates those missiles and arrives at some kind of mechanism to keep replacements from coming into the Gaza Strip, we're either going to see this past week repeated, or Israel will face a real threat from Iran being able to hit Israel from its own backyard, in effect.
So you kind of just spelled out the risk of Israel agreeing to the ceasefire. What risks do they incur by not agreeing to a ceasefire?
Well, the alternatives they face are not attractive. I think one has to conclude that although Israel's Air Force was successful in destroying a fair number of the rocket launching sites and maybe some of the storage facilities and the like, that they're clearly concerned that they were unable to fight all of the sources of rockets, both short range and long range. So that's why they're contemplating going in on the ground. And that is something that will cost them politically. It could be substantial casualties for the Israeli ground forces. They'll get publicity about innocent Palestinians being killed, and they still might not be able to get all the rockets. On the other hand, if they leave Hamas in possession, especially of the longer range Fajr missiles that can hit Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, Iran and Hamas have really moved to a new strategic plateau that leaves Israel more vulnerable the next time around.
What's your take, Mr. Ambassador, on the role that Egypt, now with the Muslim Brotherhood in charge, is playing as the mediator here when the president of Egypt earlier in the week was clearly on the record for Hamas, and there's even been some reports of rockets being fired from Sinai into Israel?
Look, there's no doubt this is a very different Egypt than when Mubarak was president. While nobody's going to argue Mubarak was a Jeffersonian Democrat, he was an authoritarian ruler. He didn't like Hamas any more than the Israelis did, because he knew that Hamas in the Gaza Strip was a wholly owned subsidiary of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, and they were a threat to him in a kind of parallel way. Hamas in the Gaza Strip is a threat to Israel. So Mubarak would frequently, typically, cooperate with Israel in suppressing this kind of thing. I don't think that's what Mohamed Morsi, the new, relatively new Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, will follow that same pattern. Now, Morsi has constraints, to be sure. Number one, the Egyptian military, I think, still sees things pretty much the same way Mubarak did, so they've got disagreement within the government of Egypt over that. And Egypt is in very desperate straits financially. They've just signed a new deal with the International Monetary Fund. They desperately need more debt relief. And if the U.S. and Europeans were to cut them off from the financial aid spigot, they'd be in real trouble. But the fundamental point is that ideologically, Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood are entirely of the same view as Hamas here. And so that's why I think long-term Israel really can't put its faith in an Egyptian broker deal or Egyptian monitoring for that point of view. It's a very, very difficult situation for Israel. And I just add one other thing. Even though President Obama has given rhetorical support for Israel, said that Israel obviously has a right to self-defense, behind the scenes, my understanding is the president's putting unbelievable pressure on Israel not to go in on the ground. which means that if he succeeds, and that may be the message Hillary Clinton is carrying, a ceasefire here doesn't resolve anything. It merely postpones another clash.
Let's flesh that out a little bit more, because there were points in the Bush administration when Prime Minister Sharon went in to respond to different violence from these organizations, and the Bush administration word was restraint. How is what the Bush administration did different than what you're hearing the Obama administration is telling Netanyahu?
Well, unfortunately, it's not that much different. You know, originally in the 2006 war between Hezbollah and Israel, the Bush administration was content to allow the Israelis to do what they said they were going to do publicly, which was finish Hamas as a threat. The Israelis didn't do that, and ultimately Secretary of State Rice came down very hard on Israel when she was there trying to negotiate a ceasefire with the Lebanese, and an Israeli missile tragically hit the civilian population, and she turned very much against the Israeli position. So I think in many respects the last couple of years of the Bush administration is not that different from the way Obama has approached things, and I think that's one reason why the security and strategic safety of Israel and the United States in the region have declined.
What do you expect Israel to do here?
Well, I think that that Israel is looking very carefully at its intelligence. It's looking very carefully at the negotiations. You know, they may accept the ceasefire, but they will understand that this simply postpones the moment of truth. And if they decide to go in on the ground, I think it will be a very sustained operation. I think, as you and I are talking, this is very much in the balance in the security cabinet of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. Please look for the second part of our conversation, where the ambassador will elaborate on his reaction to the reports from Tuesday suggesting that the intelligence community did, in fact, change those talking points for the administration and Ambassador Rice in the wake of the attacks on the Benghazi consulate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.